Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Hey, there's a great new book out, and we love bringing you books about the military because, you know, there are so many out there, and to kind of sift through those and give you the best of the best is what we're talking about here on the National Defense, and it's called A Grand Pause, based on true events, an incredible story that took place in the midst of World War II. It follows a daring and exciting rescue mission by the USS Randolph, and I can't wait to find out more about this. The author, Gary Santos, is with us. Gary, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on, Randy.
Absolutely, man. This sounds fascinating. And this really kind of started with your dad, right?
Yes. So he was 17 years old, growing up in the Depression of New York City, and he had no direction in life. He enlisted in the Navy, and those 2 years in the Navy changed the course of his life. Not only surviving the World War, but giving him an idea of what he can be down the road.
Well, and you know, that's not surprising to me because you hear a lot of people say that for whatever reason you join the military, it shapes the rest of your life.
Yes, and my father's experience, that ship altered the course of his life. And it was probably the second most important thing in his life after family. And he talked about that ship all the time. In the last day of 2016, when he passed away, all of a sudden those stories stopped. And it made me feel nostalgic. So I started researching the ship's history. And the ship has a magnificent history, not only World War II, but right on through the Cold War. But I bumped into this just improbable rescue that the ship was involved with in 1945, towards the waning days of World War II.
Yeah, and the Grand Pause follows two American airmen, Ensign John Morris and his gunner, Cletus Fegley, after they're stranded on a raft in the middle of Japanese island surrounded by a cutthroat enemy. I mean, that's a movie right there.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable story. The rescue actually made headlines afterwards, but in a war that was creating headlines every day, it was forgotten. And while I was in the National Archives researching the ship's past, I just bumped into the story, and it amazed me that there's nothing was written about it. So during the pandemic, I had all this free time, so I decided to write a story on it. I novelized it because in an attempt to bring my father back to life. He was not involved with this rescue, but he was a sailor on the ship.
Sure.
And his travails represents the teenager whose life was basically put on pause while this world war was fought.
Yeah, we're talking to Gary Santos here on the National Defense. His book, A Grand Pause, sounds just fascinating. Gary, let's go back to the two guys that you're talking about here. They're stranded out there on a raft. How long are they out there?
They were out there for several hours. They were a crew of a Curtiss Hell Diver, a two-man crew. And the engine was shot out on an attack on a kamikaze base in the northern tip of Kyushu on an airfield called USA. Oddly enough, it's spelled USA. And they ditch in the inland sea. And there's no precedence for a rescue. The military teaches you to improvise and adapt, and that's what the fleet did to get these two sailors back.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think about that these two guys out there stranded on a raft in the middle of enemy waters, and the USS Randolph somehow has to navigate, this gigantic ship has to navigate its way through that and in order to rescue these men, right?
Well, the ship doesn't actually enter Japanese waters. They have to send a rescue mission. And the rescue is provided by seaplanes. Back during World War II, seaplanes performed the functions of what helicopters would today. And so it was, and the Japanese were intent on capturing these two sailors, but there were Randolph kept a combat air patrol overhead to safeguard the individuals in the water while the rescue was underway.
Wow. Wow. You know, I love these kind of books that that paint these real pictures, because I think sometimes people forget, especially if you don't know anybody in the military or you haven't been in the military, you just kind of tend to forget that every single day you're put in harm's way. And, you know, these kind of stories like that, you know, just bring that home. And just like your dad, I mean, serving on the USS Randolph, you know, it's just it's less than 1% of the population chooses to serve.
Right. And more so with the World War II veterans that are dying off now.
Right.
World War II was a defining moment for the United States. It was also the last war that could be said it was, you know, definitively that it was good versus evil. Mm-hmm. And as this World War II generation, you know, moves on, you know, our national recollection tends to forget their sacrifices and the history that they made. I mean,
right.
The United States literally became a superpower during and after World War II because of their sacrifices.
It's amazing that this story has not been told. Gary, give us an idea of what this kamikaze-filled war theater in the Pacific was really like.
Right. There was nothing like it before. In a traditional sense, naval battles were two fleets opposed from against each other. You know, from the days of Francis Drake, ships would line up and within visual sight.
Sure.
World War II changed that. With carrier air power, all of a sudden, naval battles were fought over the horizon. In Okinawa, you had the longest and bloodiest naval battle. It was not fought between two fleets. It was fought between a fleet and kamikazes, people intent on killing themselves. A fleet versus literally human missiles.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and you, I've read so much about those people. That's a special breed of a special breed of people that, you know, that want to do that.
Yes. The Japanese people during World War II were probably the most complex in the history of the human race. The way they put the emperor in Japan above everything else, it was part of the Bushido code going back centuries, where life was fought for honor. You couldn't dishonor yourself. It was glorious to die in battle. Right. When you died in battle, you get reincarnated into, you know, kami spirits of that. You will continue living in the air and the sea and the land. And the Japanese brought this mentality all the way to World War II. And it was the natural conclusion of that Bushido code, where Japan could not surrender. They could not allow Americans or the Allies to occupy their land. So they fought to the death. And the kamikaze was that depiction of fighting to the death.
Yeah, we're talking to Gary Santos here on the National Defense, his book, A Grand Pause. And now you are a bit of a war historian and you collect memorabilia, and you the way that you found this story is remarkable. Tell me about the ship itself, the USS Randolph.
Well, the USS Randolph was one of 24 Essex-class carriers. She was launched in October of 1944. And by February 1945, she was already in battle. So it was the fastest turnaround time. Wow. From launching, commissioning to battle. The ship, after shakedown, never went back for readjustments in a shipyard. Instead, it just continued out to the Pacific. Randolph was struck by a kamikaze at the fleet anchorage at Ulithi. And the repair, if you see the pictures of the damage, it was a gaping hole in the back and the interior of the ship was destroyed. But the captain, Felix Baker, who is a large part of this Randolph story, he sets the tone for the crew. So he demanded the ship be repaired at Ulithi without any shipyard overhead facilities. The Randolph is banged back together in 19 days and she goes underway. So this ship was
in 19 days.
In 19 days, yes.
Wow.
This ship was always defying the odds.
Yeah. Wow. That is incredible. And what kind of artillery, what kind of weapons were aboard the Randolph?
Well, being an aircraft carrier, her chief offensive power was the aircraft. But for defensive armament, she had the 5-inch guns, which with the proximity shells made really the best defense for kamikazes. Closer range, you had the 40 millimeters. Then you had the 20 millimeter batteries, which my father manned during battle stations.
Yeah, that's boy. I would think that your dad would be very proud of this book and all of your effort.
Oh, if that's my biggest regret in life is I didn't pursue the Randolph story during his lifetime.
Yeah, but boy, you got it now for the rest of us, and thank you so much for this. It's an incredible story. A Grand Pause is the name of the book. Gary, where can people find your book?
Well, it's online in on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, anywhere you buy books.
And it's great. How long did it take you to write this?
So I'd say about 2 years, the bulk of the writing and then the proofreading. I kept adding material to it. So I'd say it took about 2 years from beginning to finally giving the okay to the publisher to print it.
Well, great work, man. Great job. Thank you for rescuing this story.
Thank you for having me. And for other writers out there, there's so many stories like this that are hidden in national archives. It just requires a little research to find them.
Boy, that's good to know because I love unearthing some of that stuff.
Yes, and these stories need to see the light of day.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.